Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Amazing Grace.
Well, we have come in our study of the book of Malachi to chapter 2, and the chapter opens with God pronouncing judgment upon His disobedient and sinful people. The nation of Israel that God had chosen from all the other peoples of the world, had blessed above all the other peoples of the world, had preserved even when they had been chastened by God by being taken into Babylonian captivity. They had not been destroyed. They had not been dispersed so that they could not be regathered, but rather God preserved them, protected them, and brought them back to the land, and allowed them to reestablish their nation once again, and rebuild the walls of Jerusalem, and rebuild the temple, and reinstitute the sacrifices, and the priesthood, and all of the things that they had known before that Babylonian captivity. But instead of looking at all of these amazing blessings of God and say, hasn't God been kind to us? Hasn't God been good to us? Hasn't it been wonderful that God has restrained Himself from bringing down the full extent of judgment that we deserved? He has not dealt with us like He has Edom. That goes back, of course, to Malachi chapter 1, the evidence of God's love for them. The difference in the way that God has treated the descendants of Jacob and the descendants of Esau. Isn't it marvelous that God has protected us and preserved us and brought us back to the land? Basically something that has never been heard of before in the history of the world. And oh, how thankful we are, and what a great and gracious God we have. And we want to serve Him with all of our hearts. But no, they were just going through the motions, and their hearts were so far from God. And God kindly sent the prophet Malachi to warn them and to call them back to repentance and to obedience, and they refused. And so, judgment is the consequence, and that's what we're reading about in chapter 2. Thank you for joining me on this Tuesday, October 15, and many, many thanks for those whose financial gifts make it possible for us to continue this ministry. Well, the objects of the judgment, at least the initial judgment, are the priests. Verse 1, "And now, O priests, this commandment is for you." The reasons for the judgment are found in verse 2, and it is their failure to heed God's word and their failure to honor God's name. The nature of the judgment is given in verses 2 and 3, and it is in the form of a curse. God said, "I will curse." Let me read verse 2. "If you will not hear, if you will not take it to heart to give glory to my name, says the Lord of hosts, I will send a curse upon you, and I will curse your blessings. Yes, I have cursed them already, because you do not take it to heart. Behold, I will rebuke your descendants and spread refuse on your face, the refuse of your solemn feasts, and one will take you away with it." The refuse was taken outside the camp, taken away from the temple, taken away from the altar. It was carried outside the camp to a place of refuse. And God says, I will take you away with it, priests. You're going to be taken away from the temple. You're going to be taken away from the altar. You're going to be taken away from priestly service and cast out like so much refuse. Then you shall know, verse 4, that I have sent this commandment to you, that my covenant with Levi may continue, says the Lord of hosts. So the judgment was God's curse, his promised curse upon their blessings, upon their offspring, their children, upon their labors, and that they would be humiliated and removed from office. And God said, I will curse you, future, but I have already cursed you, present. Some of the judgment has already fallen. Some of it's already at work. But there's more to come if you will not repent. Now, if you will repent, then God, in kindness, not because you don't deserve it, but in kindness, will hold back on the judgment you deserve. But if you will not repent and harden your hearts against God, then what you will receive is greater judgment. Apparently, the judgment that has already started to come isn't severe enough to get your attention. It isn't severe enough for you to feel like you'd rather repent and turn to God than to continue to be judged. It really is amazing. I'm sure you have read in the book of Revelation how that the greatest judgments and calamities fall upon men, and instead of repenting, they curse God and continue to rail against him, even while they are falling under ever more severe judgment. It does not produce a repentant spirit. You would think it would, but so stubborn is man, so rebellious is man, so defiant is man against God, that he refuses to repent even in the face of the severest forms of judgment. And it's like he says, I don't care what you do, I will not bow. Have you ever heard that blasphemous poem? It almost makes me shudder every time I think of it, entitled Invictus by William Ernest Henley. I remember reading it years ago. It was assigned to me in a literature class when I was in high school, and here's what it says. Out of the night that covers me, black as the pit from pole to pole, I thank whatever gods may be for my unconquerable soul. In the fell clutch of circumstance, I have not winced nor cried aloud. Under the bludgeonings of chance, my head is bloody but unbowed. Beyond this place of wrath and tears looms but the horror of the shade, and yet the menace of the years finds and shall find me unafraid. It matters not how straight the gate, how charged with punishments the scroll. I am the master of my fate. I am the captain of my soul. So he wrote in defiance against God. He knows better now. He died on July 11th, 1903. He has known better for more than 100 years now. I shudder to think about the judgment that he's already experiencing and will continue to experience for all eternity. But can you imagine that kind of defiance, that kind of hard-heartedness? It matters not how straight the gate, how charged with punishments the scroll. I am the master of my fate. I am the captain of my soul. No, you're not. No, you're not. God Almighty is the master of your fate. God Almighty is the captain of your soul. And that's true for everyone. It's true for William Ernest Henley, and it's true for Greg Barkman, and it's true for you. It's true for everyone who is hearing this broadcast today. And therefore, I plead with you, if you are still unbowed before the throne of God, if you still have not bowed the knee to King Jesus, please, please, please understand that that is the only thing to do. It's the only logical thing to do. It's the only sensible thing to do. As well as it is the right thing to do, it is the honorable thing to do. It is to acknowledge that you owe your life to God, and He has a right to rule you, and bow the knee and surrender to Him and receive the blessings that that brings. But so rebellious, so defiant is the heart of man that he refuses to do so in so many cases. And that's exactly what we're having here in Malachi chapter 2. The priests of God, the Levites, the ones appointed to lead the people of God in worship. Could it be that people like that refuse to acknowledge their sin and repent and return to God? That's exactly what we see. Could it be that in America today, in pulpits of America, in positions of religious leadership in America, there are pastors, there are denominational leaders, there are seminary professors who are training other men for the ministry, who have rebellious hearts against God and refuse to bow before Him and refuse to accept His word, refuse to acknowledge His right to rule and reign over their hearts, refuse to believe the word that He has given, and continue on in a course of defiant apostasy, doing everything they can to undermine faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and undermine faith in the Bible as the Word of God. It's quite incredible. It wasn't too long ago that the Supreme Court ruled that a cross, and I forget exactly where it was in, I think, in, it'd been on public property for a long time, and it was a memorial for, I think, soldiers who had been slain in war. And predictably, one of the anti-religious groups in America brought suit to say that this was a violation of church and state, and you can't have a Christian cross like this. And the case eventually, slowly, but eventually made its way all the way to the Supreme Court. And the Supreme Court ruled that the cross may stay, and didn't even say on the basis of the fact that it was both a secular symbol as well as a religious one. It didn't say that was the rationale for allowing it to stay. It affirmed that it was, at least in part, a religious symbol, but nevertheless it would stay. Isn't that amazing? I mean, we didn't expect a ruling like that, but here's what really struck me when I was reading the article about this some months ago. How many Christian denominations took the side of the prosecution that was trying to get the removal of the cross, and stated their own reasons why it ought not be allowed to stand, and even quoted scripture and said things like, because this cross stands for the message that there's only one way to God, it's through Jesus Christ, that it should not be allowed to stand. These are so-called Christian denominations, Christian ministers, Christian leaders who are writing this, banding together, several of them banding together to say these things, defiant against God, against Christ, against the Scriptures, against the Bible, warning against the dangers of allowing a Christian symbol like this that points men to Jesus Christ as the way of salvation. You expect that from atheists, but from Christians? Yes. Yes, sadly it is so. And that's why the judgment fell upon the priests in Malachi chapter 2. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you His eternal peace.